Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Tuesday to you. It's Tuesday, October the 23rd. Hey, y'all, I got a special guest. I'm here in Detroit with my man, Mike Small. Now, let me tell y'all a little bit about Mike. You know, Mike is a former journalist. He's back into it. He used to work in North Carolina. He used to do stuff with the University of North Carolina and Dean Smith. Now he's in pharmaceutical. But he's back in the business. He does some stuff with the fifth quarter. We're in Detroit, where we were up here having a good time talking about the 76ers. And guess what? It's time to do a podcast. So I have my man Mike helping me out. What's up, Mike?
Keith, good to be here, my friend.
Good to be here. First question I want to ask you, Mike, is a tough one.
Okay.
What do the Sixers need to do to win tomorrow night? I mean, tonight, excuse me,
yeah.
Against Detroit.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think Detroit was a mess last year when they got Blake Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they clearly, Stan Van Gundy had no idea what to do with those guys. And I think that they were a bit chaotic. I think Gentry's a good coach. And I think that, they're much more organized. I think they've had some time to gel a little bit. I do believe Blake Griffin is a good player. I do believe he'll be a presence inside. And I do believe the Sixers are going to have to hit some jump shots in order to win. I think Joel will get his. We're still waiting to see the status of Ben. If Ben doesn't play, does that mean TJ plays more? Does that mean, will Brett Brown do what he says he's going to do? Is he going to give Markel the time? Or is he going to try to win the game? And if he's going to try to win the game, that's probably more TJ and Shamet than Markel. So I think in order to win this game, I think, JJ's going to have to get off again like he did the other day. And I think Shamet's going to have to shoot. And I think, Embiid's going to get his. But if Ben doesn't play, they're going to have to hit a lot of jump shots to win this game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And I believe that TJ is going to get the... Well, let me say this. If Ben doesn't play, Markel probably most likely will start. But I think it's going to be kind of sort of like what we saw the last game. With when the game is on the line,
right,
it's going to be the TJ McConnell show, And, nothing against Markel, but, this is a game, the other games when Markel played a lot. And I hate to say this, and I know people get upset when people are real about it, but he played a lot because the game was out of hand
yeah.
late in the fourth. I think that right now where we are, his reality is like how it was against Boston and how it was against Orlando. And I think for the next two games, unless the 76ers somehow blow out Detroit and do the same thing against Milwaukee, or they're getting blown out, is going to be the same thing for Markel Fultz.
I haven't seen anything out of Markel yet that tells me you can put him in and depend on him in any way, shape, or form. Now, I know all the attention is about the jump shot, and let's face it, it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
At least he's taking it, but, he's shooting about 25%, I think, last count. With it. And it's not about that, though. It's about him knowing where to go on defense. He's committing stupid fouls. And I just don't have a lot of confidence in him right now out on the floor. And I think if you look at the team, you mentioned this earlier when we were having dinner, they're a lot better when he's off the floor than on it.
Yeah.
And, I know that Brett's trying to grow him and grow the team with him. But I don't have a lot of confidence that they're a better team with him on the floor at this point, and no. I'm not sure we're going to get there.
No, at this point, they're not. I think the hope is that you can develop them. Like as we alluded to, the East, even though there are some teams who have improved, like, for instance, Milwaukee's improved, mm-hmm. The Wizards, it's a wait and see with that team. But there are some games where you're going to be able to just throw them out there and you're going to be able to do something. Now, it might not be a blowout win, but you still have better players than the opposing team that where you can live with it. And when you the Sixers, as Bob Ford wrote about for today's paper, he basically said that, the Sixers, when it comes to Markel, they're saying they're being optimistic, but they're coaching pessimistic. Meaning, like, you know, we're saying all the great things about them, but when it comes down to it, we're not really playing them because, you know, we don't have enough faith in them. But the goal is, when you talk to Brett Brown and all of them, the goal is to get him prepared, hopefully, to whereas he can have his confidence, he can become a better player, he can grow for when the playoffs come because they'll need him. But, you know, right now it just seems like it's not working out. Now, the one guy who I've been impressed with, and a lot of it is basically coming when he plays with Ben Simmons, is Landry Shamet. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Landry's a guy, late first round pick, a guy who was a point guard at Wichita mm-hmm. State. He slides to the two guard, a position he played in high school. And man, I mean, I'm looking at this guy and I'm saying to myself, he has a future with this team.
You know what's funny is sometimes you have to admit you're wrong. And when I was watching the draft, I was really disappointed they didn't take Robert Williams, the guy that went to Boston. I know that, you know, he may not have been a great character guy, but I thought as a player that was exactly what they needed down there at that point in the draft. But Landry Shamet has been amazing. And you're right, he's better with Ben on the floor. But he's the opposite of Markel. He looks so comfortable. He looks smooth. And he's been playing much better defense on the ball and switching than I expected him to be able to play. And I've been really impressed with the way that he's gone out there and given the minutes. And the first game of the season, he definitely looked a little rattled against Boston. But the next two, I thought he's looked great. And I think he's earned more time. And if Ben doesn't play, I'd like to see him get a few minutes at the point guard.
Yeah, yeah. But now here's the thing about him. I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to him and Markel, I get what you're saying. But he doesn't have the pressure that Markel has either. Like, he just comes in and makes shots.
Right.
And if he doesn't, it's like, we're not going to say, oh, like, okay, the other game, the last game, he was 0-for-4 from the field. I didn't pay attention to it until I looked at the box score at the end of the game. But every shot that Markel missed, I noticed. You know what I mean? So it's like, again, he's more relaxed because he's a late first-round pick.
Right.
He doesn't have the expectation. Unfortunately for Markel, he does have a lot of expectations. Now, my question is, how long do you see the Sixers bringing J.J. Redick off the bench?
I see it. I don't think J.J. is going to be happy about it. I mean, I think he's saying and doing all the right things right now. For some reason, something tells me that at some point J.J.'s, you know, he's on a one-year deal. He's got to start thinking about next year. And at some point, I think Robert Covington might be the guy, or I'm sorry, and Dario Saric might be the guy that comes off the bench. But I think, you know, it all depends on how long they're going to do this Markel Fultz experiment. I personally have already heard Brett talk, you know, say things that make me believe that he could backtrack at any point.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's locked, you know, as much as he acted like he was locked into it before the season started. I could absolutely see him in 3-4 games saying, okay, you know what, let's maybe they'll come up with some plan that makes sense in their minds for Markel to get confidence coming off the bench as a way to sell it to us. I don't think JJ is going to be coming off the bench all year, although it's great to see, you know, the way he's been playing off the bench. Actually, his defense actually has been a lot better than it was last year,
yeah,
I've noticed. But
yeah.
I actually like the way he's been playing. I want to ask you a question, if you don't
mm-hmm.
mind. I'm going to turn this on the podcaster. You know, we've been talking about Markel, and I want to give you credit because you were the guy that stood up there last year, and you broke the story that it wasn't a shoulder injury that was causing all these problems as much as it was the quote-unquote yips. And I know that you got some heat for that. What is that like for you as the beat reporter that has to be around the team every day and around Brett every day? That's got to be a bit of a challenge for you, knowing that, you know, you're telling the truth to the people. And, you know, it's pretty tough being around them every day. The Philadelphia Inquirer is not a PR arm of the Sixers. But, you know, you broke a story, and that's a big deal, and you still have to be around them every day.
The thing is, I think, well, thank you, first of all. But I think that in those types of instances, the team knows what I'm saying is true. So, you know, if it was something that it was made up or make believe, you know, I think that they would, you know, I think it would be a strange situation because I'm making stuff up. But when you know it's true and they know it's true, they really don't say anything. You know what I mean? Now, they may say something publicly and this and that, but they know what you had is true. And then also, you know, I guess, you know, we're both from, you know, we you know, you grew up in South Jersey. I live in South Jersey. You know, we're from the Philly area. And I feel like sometimes that, you know, like you said, my job is I work for the Philly Inquirer. And if I don't keep it real, you know, saying it, I think that you guys will look at me like I'm a fraud and I'm fraudulent. So with that being said, my job is to, you know, if someone tells me something and I know it's true and I have multiple sources saying that, then you have to go with it, you know. And the thing is, it just, to me personally, the shoulder thing just didn't make sense to me when you look it up and you realize that there were a lot of players who had that injury, even some players who played on the Sixers team with former teams who had that injury, but they didn't have the surgery until after the season, and they played. So, and then also, you know, not to revisit what we were talking about, but he was cleared to play basketball in early December, and he didn't play until the last 10 days of the season, 10 games of the season. So that tells you that what everyone was saying about the yips and it being mental is true. And the thing that really stands out now is when you think of mental, when you look at him play now, it's all mental. Like, he's scared to shoot the ball. He's scared to do this. He's scared to do that. It's nothing to do with the shoulder injury. Because if it was the shoulder, he would be just launching it up now that the shoulder is fixed.
You know, I just got to give you respect, though, because I've been in that situation where you're covering a team every day. And it's uncomfortable. You've got to be around the players. You've got to get things from the players. And I'm sure you got your dirty looks and your side comments and even some of your peers in the media. And you're the guy that I look to break the stories. And that's how we connected. And I'm happy to be your friend and to, you know, to get to know you better. And I think Philadelphia is lucky to have you.
Well, thank you. Whoever paid him to say that, I appreciate y'all. But, hey, look. I want to thank you. I want to thank for having my man Mike on this podcast. And I would like to thank y'all for listening. And I'll be back tomorrow to recap the Sixers game against the Detroit Pistons. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Anytime.